If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me. How many of y'all have an idea where I'm going to preach from this morning? Ephesians chapter 4 should be fairly familiar. Amen. Several years ago, the Big Baptist Church in Alberta City was looking for a pastor. And they went through several candidates, finally this young man fresh out of seminary showed up. One of the requirements the pulpit committee had for their pastor was he had to have a lot of wisdom. Because they said it takes a lot of wisdom to pastor this church. The young man got in on Sunday morning. He preached a message, and boy, they were just impressed with the message. He come back Sunday night and continued the message, and it was awesome. Wednesday night, he taught on the same subject. Sunday morning, he came back, preached the same message. They'd done voted him in as pastor. So they meet him after church and said, "We need to talk to you. Don't you know anything else?" He said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "As soon as y'all listen to this one, I'll go to the next one." Glory. Just so y'all know, he stayed there 30-something years and retired from that church. Amen. But I'm actually doing a series on this, and this is about as good a place to start as any. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Colossians 3, 1 through 3, "If ye then being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Amen. Isn't it awesome that we can get our minds so changed that we're not worried about what's happening in the world? Amen. Now, I keep up with the news. Y'all around me enough to know that I check the news. I see what's going on. And in case you want to know why your gas prices are going up, it's because we got a group of people in America that are so stingy that right in the middle of everything being done, they decide to go on strike. So they've shut down some of the refineries, and so your gas is going up because they're using this opportunity to get more money. They're making $30 an hour and crying they're not getting enough. I really feel sorry for them. Hello? But this is what's going on. And now the crises are going up, and all the problems in the Middle East is making them slow down their production. And so we're starting to see an increase in gas prices again. And you notice how a few years ago we'd have been ecstatic to see gas at $2 a gallon. We're about to die because it went back to it. Glory. Hello. But it's all about the way you look at things. When I see things in this world going great, I'm going, "Well, that's okay. The Bible said they'd be hollering peace and tranquility and everything's going to be great." And next thing you know, boom, the bottom's going to fall out. And so, you know, if I sat and thought about all the stuff that I could think about, I'd probably be bald-headed and crazy. See, some of y'all don't think about the stuff I think about. Glory. A couple of you do. Amen. But the true reality is if we sit around and think about it, that's where we are. But we're living in a world that needs to transform its thinking. We're living in a world where even Christians need to transform the way they are thinking. Paul writes the church at Ephesus, "You need to be transformed by the renewing of the spirit of your mind." The Bible tells me in the book of Romans chapter 12, "Be ye therefore," he tells me this, he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, be a living sacrifice. This is my reasonable service, that I live in a way that people see me living for God." Glory. "But be ye not conformed, but transformed by the renewing of your mind." Amen. Bible tells me in the last days, and I'm pulling this one out. This one's not anywhere back there, I don't think. But it tells us in the last days, men would be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but doing what? Denying the power thereof. What are we talking about? They're going to talk about God. They're going to know all the things to say, but there's not going to be really an anointing in their life, and they're not going to be a power in their life because they've never let their mind go to God. It's all on what they got. It's their agenda. It's what they want. And they're seeking pleasure, and they're seeking finances, and they're seeking things better than they are seeking God. This is where we are. And the Bible said because of that, they would be easily deceived and led astray. And can I tell you, on every corner there's a church, and every one of them preaching something different. You can go find somebody, tell you, "If you get drunk on Saturday night, you're not ever going to hear me tell you that because I understand the evils of alcohol. Been there, done that, wore the t-shirt." I can tell you, you can smoke some dope and still be good, but they can't smoke dope and do anything. Even in Colorado, they're saying we made a mistake legalizing marijuana. because they understand now people are never going to work. They're laying out of work. Those at work are getting hurt because they're coming to work high. And they understand it is not good. There is a reason it was banned before, because people that smoke dope become idiots. Smile. And I meant to say that. There's a reason they were called dopers when I was a kid. Now they're chemically dependent people, because we got to be politically correct. They're still dope heads. That means they're dopes. They're dumb. Hello? Not yet. Smoking weed can take somebody with an intelligent brain and fry it down to nothing. I can remember there was a time in my life I could memorize anything I wanted to. I also remember a time in my life when I couldn't hardly remember who I was or where I came from. I could also remember my favorite word was wow. Not the only word I had was wow. Glory. I could carry on conversation and not even know what I said, but I'd know when I said wow. Glory. Come on, church, smile at me. Some of y'all like, you never done stuff like that. I know you like the former president you never inhaled. All of us at some time in our life has done something that we sit around and think, you know, if I'd been smart, I wouldn't have done that. Hello? Smile. What we need is a transformation of our mind. We've got to start thinking the way God wants us to think. And when we do, we understand there are absolutes. There are things I cannot do and live right. I'm not looking for how I can get by with them like some people are. I'm trying to figure out how I can get rid of them so I can get closer to God. That is the idea of transforming our mind. Instead of trying to run around God, I want to run to God. I want to walk with God. I want to be with God. And for that to happen, there are things in my life I can't have. Hello? That's good preaching. And there's got to be a transformation of our mind. Amen. Somebody say, preacher, what are you talking about? There are some things we have to budget in our life. Power in our life has to be budgeted. Power is a nebula term. I don't know if y'all understand that or not, but power is neither good nor bad. It's a matter of who's got a hold of the power as to whether or not it's good or bad. Hello? Amen. I remember one time at the General Assembly, we had a young man preaching, and he got talking about power and how it was a nebulous term, and he turned around, and he really was wearing it out, and I looked over the guy next to him and said, he'll never preach at the General Assembly again. It was worse than that. They dismissed him from his job as a state evangelist when he left the meeting. Glory. Because he wore some dudes out about the way they were abusing their power while he was preaching. So they abused it a little more and put him out of a job. Amen. Of course, it wasn't about 3 or 4 months later, he was pastoring a church, got back on the circuit, and now he's being camp meetings and everything else again, and they can't keep him down because God's got his hand on him. Hello? See, church, that's the thing you got to realize. Somebody told me one day, said, well, they'll blackball you. That's not a big problem. God knows how to float blackballs. Just carry me right on up with it. Amen, because I'm not cast on them. I'm cast on God. So I'm not worried about people that abuse power. I'm touched to the God that has control of the power. Come on, church. And I understand this, all power belongeth unto God. Amen. But I have to budget power in my life, because if I don't, power can be an aesthetic thing that can do just as much to you as drugs did. Some people get so high on power, you can't do nothing with them. You give some people authority, you messed up. Because the minute they think they got some authority, they go crazy. They're totally different from who they used to be. Come on, church. That's good preaching. I'm not going to stay there. Y'all wiggling around. Some of y'all has got authority going, what's he talking about? But it's the truth. There are some men, if they came here to be your pastor, you would have think that they were actually the whipping post, because they jump in this pulpit and use it for a place to wear y'all out. And you say, well, you do that, but I do it right. I do it by the Bible. I'm not just up here running off on my contentions. There are some things I can't do, you could do. But it's a personal conviction I have. Smile. Got nothing to do with the Word of God. It's something I had to make a decision to live for God for. Hey, listen, y'all, I'll go ahead and point one out very plain to you. You don't ever see a ring on my hand. My wife's got rings I bought for her. But I cannot put a ring on my hand. Got nothing to do with the ring. It's got to do with an attitude I had about a ring. And every time I get to that place I put one on my hand, I remember the night I threw it before God, said, I don't care if you tell me, I'm not taking it off my hand. And for that reason, I can't put a ring on my hand. Amen. That's a personal conviction. I'm not going to use it on you. I'm not going to stand up here and preach to you about the way you wear your hair. That's your business. I wish I had hair for you to get mad about. Glory. I'm not going to spend my time preaching on the clothesline. As long as it's decent, I can live with it. You come in here not decent, you're going to hear something from me sooner or later. Especially if you're supposed to be a Christian. Now, if somebody walks in here, I don't care how they dress, if they ain't a Christian, we're going to love them, we're going to work with them, we're going to get them in an altar. And once they get saved, we'll help them change. Hello? Some of y'all have a problem with it, but if a young lady walked in here in a bikini bathing suit and wasn't saved, wanted to get saved, I'd bring her to the altar and pray her through. We might put a cloth over her, but we'd still bring her up here and pray her through. I wouldn't run her off because she came in a bikini. You could take her to a back room. Really? Then we could let you go back there while we're praying her through. Smile. That's good stuff right there. I don't care what you say. Because I'm going to tell you something. When I went to church, I was a church of God. I didn't look like church of God. I didn't act like church of God. Let's face it. I was ripped halfway out of my brain. I thought I was somewhere else, and I was trying to buy booze off of Usher the night I got saved. I had long hair. I had a mustache. I had on flip-flops. Well, it was something like that. It was some shoes I'd cut up to make them like I wanted them. Glory. I had a feather hanging off my ear. It was a clip-on. I wore it to aggravate people. But I'm kind of glad them folks didn't say, well, we're not going to let him go up to the altar tonight because he might just mess up our altar. I did. I snotted all over it and cried. But you know what? God got a hold of my life and changed me. And some of those same people that used to talk about me are still sitting in that church talking about how they love God and ain't done nothing in 30 years. Amen. Why? Because God got a hold of me and changed me. But not only do we need to budget power, we need to learn how to budget money. Can I tell you, church, that if you got the mentality that you can buy what you want when you want it and you stay in debt the rest of your life, it's nobody's fault but yours. You've got to change the way you think. You can't keep spending money you ain't got because sooner or later you're going to hit a wall. So I said, this ain't in the Bible. Yeah, it is. I think there's a lot of stuff that talks about being faithful with your money and minding your money. Because if you stay broke, you can't support God. Hello? If Peter and Paul's on people you're giving money to, you're not getting blessed because Peter and Paul's not God. Oh, that's good preaching. And you can't keep up with the Joneses. Just as soon as you buy what they got, they're going to another level and leave you. Oh, that's good preaching. We got to budget our time. You ever notice how we make time to do what we want to? It never kills me how folks say, well, you know, I'm just a busy. I can't get back to church on Sunday night, but you can go other places. You can get involved in other things. You just can't go to church because it's not on your budget. Wednesday night, well, I worked all day like the rest of us was laying at the house snoozing all day and just got up to come to church. Smile. We've got to learn to budget our time. There are things we can do, and there are things we can't do. But we've got to put it in our time frame that we make to do what we want to. That's the way the human life works. But we've got to learn to budget them. But we got to have a transformed mind. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? We've got to learn how to change our mind. Let me ask you something. Y'all ever read the story of Esau and Jacob? Amen. Esau's a great guy, wasn't he? You don't hear much about him. Every time you read about the lineage, you say, well, there was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It actually should have read Abraham, Isaac, Esau. What are y'all looking at me like that for? Esau had the birthright. He was the firstborn of the twins. So therefore, he was a natural one to take over and run the family. And he would have been the one the birthright went through. But let me tell you, he got so caught up in trying to fill his old empty belly that he sold his birthright for a bowl of peas. And we got people sitting around saying, well, what are you getting at? He sold his relationship with God for something in this world because that was more important than walking with God. And that's where we are in the church. We've got people that'll work 80 hours a week and not go to church and then wonder why their family ain't living for God. It's time we sell out to him and realize more important than anything else, I got to get my family to him. Woo. Well, Jacob fooled him. We give Jacob way too much credit. This dude was a loser before he cooked them peas. What's his name? Liar, supplanter, deceiver. The guy was a loser, so don't give him enough thought to think he was smart enough to fool Esau. Esau was just stupid. Come on, church, lean your head back. That's a bad word. No, it ain't, because all of us have been stupid at one time in our life. Hey, I graduated magna cum laude from stupid university a couple of times in my life. Glory. Some of y'all look at me like, well, I've never been to that school. You flunked out. Glory. I at least graduated. Glory. Come on, church. We've all done stuff in our life, and some of you sitting there thinking about it, and you go, I remember. We've done stuff that just as soon as we got through, we were like, oh, if I thought about that, I wouldn't have done that. It's too late. Let's face it, church, if somebody comes up and offers to trade cards with you and they got a card badly will run, yours is running good, and you swap with them, they didn't fool you. You were stupid. You say, well, that's not a good addition. Yeah, it is. Esau had it all. Gave it away for a bowl of peas. That's stupid. That's not being tricked. That's stupid. Can I tell you, some of you make these decisions just like Esau did. You make your decision based on what's going on right now instead of what the future could hold for you, and you're more worried about right now than you're worried about your future, and you're basing everything going on then. That's why you need a transformed mind where you understand that what I do today is going to affect the rest of my life. How I live right now is going to determine where I'm going to spend eternity, and for that reason, I need to sell out to God, put God in charge. Oh, come on, church. Somebody needs to catch what I'm saying. You'll trade your eternity for 30 minutes of pleasure on a good night. Glory. Oh, it's okay. No, it's not. You commit adultery, going to hell. That's in the Bible. That's one of the top 10. So don't figure they just wrote them off just because of you. Well, we wasn't married. It's still adultery. Just got a different name. They call it fornication, but it's still adultery. You get around a bunch of people and sell out your whole relationship with God just so you can fit in. I've always wanted to be an oddball. For some reason, I enjoyed it when I was a kid. Amen. Some of y'all were too. Everybody in school didn't act like me. Thank God. I'm not saying it's bad, but I ran into people I went to school with, and the first question out of their mouth, are you really a preacher? Why? Because I wasn't anywhere near a Christian while I was in school. But I was different. I was always different. I always liked being different. I get saved, now I'm different, and I like it better because I walk around the crowd, they're acting crazy, and next thing you know, I'm able to slip them a Mickey. Glory. I catch them not thinking about it, start talking to them about God, and I get them off on God. We'll talk about it, and then suddenly they'll realize I'm witnessing to them. Come on, church. Hey, man, you say, preacher, you're crazy. I might be, but I've won a lot of people to the Lord because they didn't know where I was coming from until I caught them. Glory. Hello? Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? We've got to transform our mind. We've got to understand how to change our mind. Notice what the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Amen. In verse 16, I believe it is. Let's go back to verse 12, and if she ain't got it up there, I'll read down to 16. Wherefore, lift up thy hands, which hang down, and feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look diligently, lest any man fail for the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up to trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator, profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessings, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought carefully with tears. Amen. Esau's praying, he's got emotions. Can I throw this in? Won't cost you nothing. But an emotional outburst doesn't always mean you made a change. Well, I got that in. Some of you didn't see it coming. We got some people get in there. And then they do the same thing when they get home, because it didn't really change. They just made a little bit of get rid of this conviction I got on me. Just getting rid of conviction is not getting you into eternity. Getting rid of conviction is not changing the way you live. Sister, you ready to do what I asked you to do with a computer? Any of y'all understand computers? They got a thing called default setting. Do y'all know what a default setting is in a computer? That means that's how that computer's going to operate every time it's turned off and turned back on. Now, just to change the way it's operating does not change the way it's going to operate in the future. Now, watch. We get something, put it up here. She's supposed to be working for me. There we go. Power of a changed mind. Now, if she typed that normal, it would look different from that. But she changed the font. She put it in bold print. Turn the computer down, break it down, come back up again. What happens when you bring it back up and you hadn't changed the font? Uh-oh. It went back like it was. So I said, what are you trying to tell me? Some of you have made changes without changing your default setting. You were born with carnalities and inclinations you haven't gotten rid of. You just kept playing with them and tried to switch them around. You keep making New Year's resolutions without really resolving the problem by making a default change. If I go into the default setting and change that to the font I want and pull out, every time I go back, the default setting will stay the same. We've got to change what's on the inside that creates who we are on the outside, or the outside will never change. My Lord, listen, the word repentance comes from the word. And, you know, I understand the other day our MIP are being taught you shouldn't use Greek. The Bible's written in Greek. Why wouldn't you use it? Because you can figure out some extra things with it. Notice, he said he prayed with tears in repentance without getting an answer. No matter how hard he tried, he couldn't fix what he messed up. Church, there's some things, no matter how hard you try, you can't go back and undo them. He sold his birthright. There was no way for him to ever get his birthright. But can I tell you, notice what he said. The word repent comes from a Greek word, which simply is metanoia. It simply means to change your mind, to make a turnaround. Hello? We should never, ever make permanent decisions based on temporary circumstances. But we should seek God to help us repent. That means to turn around from, to leave, quit going back to it. Don't be like a dog that throws up and keeps eating it. Oh, I know that's bad, but it's in the Bible. Come on, church, because you know there's a lot of people in the church that's doing that. They'll repent of something and do it wrong, go right back to it. That's like a dog going back to his vomit. You keep eating the same thing, trying to figure out why it don't get better the second time. Come on, church. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We've got to find a way to turn around. Remember last week when I told you about when the GPS said I missed a turn? I got to make a U-turn. I got to turn around, go back in the direction I need to go, or I'm never going to get where I'm going. Some of us today need to put a turnaround in our mind. We need to understand that my mind's not ever going to go where it needs to go till I change my mind and begin to believe the way God wants me to believe. I've got to turn around or it's not going to happen for me. I've got to let go of some things that I think is okay and realize the Word of God says they're not, and then follow God and quit trying to deal with God, quit trying to cut a contract with God, and realize God's contract's already made. All I got to do is line up to it. Come on, church. I know this ain't popular preaching. No way it's going to get on television if I stand on the TV to preach. But the truth's the truth. We've got to have a changed mind. Look what it said. It said he prayed, but he couldn't change things. But can I point something out to you? He was able to change the way he thinks. So I said, now you can't prove that. Oh, yes, I can. Because you see, Jacob's going back to live in his homeland. The big problem he's got is he don't want to meet Esau, because Esau sent emissaries saying, he don't want your chickens, because Jacob said, tell him I'm going to give him the chickens, I'm going to give him the camels, I'm going to give him everything but my main family. I just want to come and live at home. And they basically said, Esau don't want nothing out of his whole camp but you. And finally, Jacob prays through. Jacob transforms his own thinking in a tent one night in prayer when he got a hold of an angel of God and held on to him till his whole life was changed. Changed so much he went from liar, deceiver to the Prince of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the next thing you know, Esau runs up in front, jumps out and said, last night while I was in my tent, after all these years of trying to deal with what you did to me, the angel pointed out that I did it to myself. And now, brother, I just want you to come home and live. I want to welcome you here, because if I go in partnership with you, whatever you're blessed with, I'm going to be blessed with. So all of a sudden, Esau found a place to change his mind. How? When he got to the place, God sent an angel into his life and changed him. Can I tell you right now, some of you have been living in bitterness because you can't forgive somebody for something they done to you 20 years ago, and you're letting it eat your life up, and it's time you got in an altar and said, wait a minute, God, send me an angel. I need to get to that place I can let it go, because I'm never going to see real joy and peace in my life until I heal that place in me that's messed up by something I can't do anything about. I don't know where that come from. I just kind of jumped out. It ain't in the notes. But the reality is, there are some people here that your past has been tailing you like a car on a hot chase, and it's time you put it out of the mirror, got in an altar and said, God, let it go. I don't want it anymore. I don't want to deal with it anymore. God, I want to transform my mind to the point I let go of everything that was in the past. I want to hear the words that Paul said, forgetting those things that are in the past, I am going to press toward the high mark of God and the calling of God in Christ Jesus. Because if we don't, it will destroy us. I'm not going any farther. May finish this message, may not. I still got 2 points. Lord, it's not bad for a 5-point message, and I'm still got 2 points. Lord, but the reality is, if we hold things in our heart, it hurts when people do you wrong. Ain't no way you can get around that. But if you live on it, it will destroy you. You just don't know what I've been through. Honey, I have what was supposed to be a close friend of mine go around telling everybody I took a church so he could get my revivals. I mean, with friends like that, I don't need a devil. Because folks actually thought I took a church, and they were booking him, and I ended up with a whole year off. But God got involved when I prayed through. Hello? When you have somebody you take on as a dad. When my dad died, I didn't have anybody. I kind of adopted somebody. And I loved that person with all my heart. I would have died for them. And it hurt when I found out from somebody else that that person was going behind my back trying to destroy me because he got mad because I wouldn't help him do something at the church that wasn't right. I find out what's going on, walk in the house, I walk into the bedroom and start getting ready to go to bed. Frieda looks over and said, by the way, so-and-so said he loved you. And I just been listening to guys on the phone telling me how he's been calling them and telling them I had a moral failure and I was messed up and everybody ought to cancel revivals on me and doing the best he can to destroy me. And yet he sends messages to my house, he loves me. Church, all I had to do was tell the people of that community what was going on, and that man would have been gone. But it wasn't their problem, it was mine. If I let it work on me, it would have destroyed me. But I put it behind me, and I asked God to help me, and it took a while. But I never shared it with the people of the community. I never told the people of the church because it wasn't the church's deal. It was mine personally with him. And when I got over it, God took care of it. And it wasn't until he left there that the people found out what was going on. They was coming in. Why didn't you tell us? That wasn't none of y'all's business. You say, well, preacher, do you love that man? He's visited this church and I treated him like a god because I love him. No matter what he did, I got by it. Because it's more important for me to stay close to God and let God bless me than it was to get revenge on somebody who tried to hurt me, who was not successful because God was on my side. And the only way I made it was God lifted me up and God took care of me. And some of you need to get in these altars this morning and bury some things of your past and say, God, today, I'm turning around. Stand with me all over the house. Holy, 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 holy God, have your way. Father, we thank you this morning for your love, for your power, for your anointing. God, have your way in our life. In Jesus' precious name.